way, I can't tell you how much I want to go to this evening's message. Isaiah 8 and 9. I might give you a glimpse of it. I was asked to dismiss the children's church this time. That promise that God gave to, in Sunday school, God's promises were made and then, fulfilled. There's still some to be fulfilled. But the incredible promise unto us, a child is born unto us, a son is given. Present tense is, and then we find future tense verbs following that, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. So it speaks of his first and then second advents, first and second coming in one quick, efficient verse. That promise was given to Israel in a time of moral darkness. Have any idea what that might be like? If you want to go there sometime later this afternoon, here's the theme I think of Isaiah 8 and 9. Is renew the virtue of hope in our lives, to our young people, to our spouses in our church. Renew the virtue of hope. And you'll see how in chapter 8, Isaiah said, I will turn to him, I will wait for him, though he hides his face from his people. Isaiah had a successful ministry to a very rejecting country. But he kept on keeping on. And what an example for us to follow in times of moral darkness and decay, to wait on the Lord and to look to the Lord, even though his blessing doesn't seem to be as big as it used to seem. We don't see as many churches popping up and believers, people getting saved nowadays as we did, several decades ago. But, we knew the virtue of hope. Let's go back to John 15. I have enjoyed, and I was going to basically say the same things that John did, because that tells the story of how I met your pastor. I certainly have appreciated when I've been able to come to the conferences that your church has and, for your testimony over on this side of the state. And you're welcome to other churches to share in that ministry, in that testimony. Christianity is not a religion. It is a I thought it would be louder. Relationship? Is that where we're going? Good. All right. I'd like to encourage us to turn the dial up on our relationship with Christ to 10 today in this passage. Because I wonder where it is in my life at times. And as a pastor who is currently serving as a carpenter and filling pulpit when I can, I need to be searching for ways to be fruitful. And it's easier when you're a pastor of a church, but it's still our responsibility, an incredible one. Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. May I ask you, how are we living that truth? Do other people see evidence of your relationship with Jesus Christ? Take that question home with you, will you? We have our first grandbaby. We got to spend Thanksgiving with her and her parents. I had no clue how much fun this would be. She'll be 6 months old tomorrow. And I'm looking forward to, when she can comprehend prayer and sharing scripture with her and helping her to know, along with her parents, helping her to know God. But do other people see evidence of your relationship with Jesus Christ? Do young people see evidence of your relationship with Jesus Christ? Do they hear you talk about your Savior? Do they see you behave in ways that honor the Lord Jesus Christ? And and recognize it for what it is, you know. And you might, sometimes we have opportunity to explain, you know, I would have gotten all upset right there over that situation, but I need to honor the Lord and be meek and patient. And so by His grace, I was able to be that way. How many times in a week can we share something like that and display fruitfulness? More believers could benefit from seeing fruit in our lives. The bigger question concerning Christianity as a relationship is, what does the Lord Himself think about our relationship to Him? He's gracious, isn't He? He's amazingly gracious and wonderful. But does He ever, do you think, want a little bit more of us? Does He ever want us to turn up that dial and spend a little more time with Him and be a little closer to Him and think a little bit more about Him during the day, during the week? Now, do you ever struggle with that? Temporal things just are in our view. And that's what life seems to be about. We have to almost pull off the side and give time to Christ. Songwriters have put it well. Can we grow to see the luster of His kindly beaming eye? Can we sing with the songwriter, sweeter as the days go by? Probably one of my favorite songs has this verse, perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, listen to this, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. If we could ask that songwriter, what were you thinking? What passages were on your mind? And I'm wondering if he might have had John 15 as one of those passages. What does it mean to be lost in the love of Christ? It is so vast and so wide, as it's described in Ephesians, and to be in there and to not know how to get out because we can't see how to get out, and you know, we can't see the parameters of it. To enjoy the vastness of the love of Christ. That comes from abiding. Here's the theme, I think, of this passage. Life is meant to be about Christ and His character developed in you. Life is meant to be about Christ and His character developed in you. It's hard to describe what abide means, and it's incredibly difficult to capture everything that the Lord communicated in this chapter to His disciples, our master teacher Jesus Christ. But I'm going to throw out an attempt. Here are the three main points that I find in this chapter. Commit to Christ purposefully. Cooperate with Christ lovingly. Contribute to Christ's work productively. And that's been happening here. I think there were 7 or 8 young people up here. Fruit. Encouraged along by parents and others who are encouraging young people to serve. Wonderful. Commit to Christ purposefully. Understand the metaphor of the vine and the branches, the Father. I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch that in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So Jesus gives this picture that they were incredibly familiar with, of the vine and the branches, grapevines, and everybody's, you know, place and farms and yards and areas. And he describes the connectedness we need to have with Him in order to bring glory to the Father, in order to be fruitful for Him. God the Father is working in each of those who is born again, developing the character of Christ. Abide is a marvelous and loving appeal that is actually a command. I've always liked this passage. I'm sure you have too. Jesus said, abide in me. You know, dwell close to Him. Be close to Christ. Don't stay at a distance. Don't come and go. Remain close to Him to bring forth fruit. And I'm using the character of Christ to describe fruit in my work through this passage at this point. The character of Christ is love. His respect or submission, His obedience, His compassion, His patience, His work of serving others. Go with me to 1 Timothy for an example in the Apostle Paul's life. First Timothy 1:16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. If you have the ESV, the wording is this way, that in me, and there's a little more, but that in me Jesus Christ might display His perfect patience. So the Apostle Paul recognized this concept of fruit bearing and was able to point out that he was an example of the patience, the perfect patience of Christ in His ministry. Who could be encouraged by this character of Christ that is love? Men, do we ever pray, Lord, help me to be loving? Should we? Probably. How about this one? Now, I've switched my thinking on patience. You know, when I was a kid, they would say, you know, pray for patience, and then they would say, if you pray for patience, you're going to have trials, so don't pray for patience. Now, I'm doing a project at work, and it has to be right, and the details take time, and I say, Lord, I need patience. And at work, we can display the character of Christ. How about submission or respect? All of us, wives, to be encouraged as you think about Philippians 2 and the condescension of our Lord from glory to being born. Obedience. Children could learn from, again, that passage in Philippians 2, Jesus' obedience. One of the character qualities of our Lord that I've enjoyed learning, I think, as much as any other, largely through a study in Matthew at one point, was His compassion. It's to be able to display to others the compassion of Christ in their need, in their situation. You know, ask and share and give and pray and help. Back in John 15, we'll get through here. John 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. You and I cannot display love and submission and obedience apart from closely walking with Christ. We can't do it. So one way to evaluate ourselves is to say, is my relationship with my spouse not what it should be? Is my attitude toward my parents lacking? Is my, you know, attitude at work, you know, not right? The answer is abide in Christ. The answer is abide in Christ. Be who He wants you to be. Be the kind of person Jesus wants you to be. By the time we get to verse 6, we see abide five times and fruit five times. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Thank you, brother. I'll give it a try. You could. Five times abide, five times fruit. abide. There's another illustration in the previous chapter for what abide looks like. And it's incredibly meaningful and intimate. Verse 22 of chapter 14. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So abide is the relationship that God the Father and God the Son have with us as believers. And they want that to be close, fruitfully close, that we might be honoring to God in the process. In these two verses, we see the word love, keep commandments, His love for us, He will come and abide with us. I think the word abide goes something like this, to my personal kind of thought on how to describe it. Dwell, remain in a committed, purposeful, productive relationship with Jesus Christ. When I say remain, we're not keeping our salvation. We're keeping our service fruitful for Him, our closeness with Him. So the context of this passage is incredibly instructive. You know, there are times in our lives when we face challenges and we face trials, and the Lord brings us a verse. And we say, wow, I read that so many times before, but how it means so much more this time. This is the night of Jesus' arrest. Judas had left back in chapter 13. There were 3 years of discipleship that Jesus poured into these disciples. His crucifixion was coming. His resurrection and ascension back to heaven was coming. And here he is saying to the disciples that he had trained over that time period, stay right here. I will abide in you if you abide in me. Keep on keeping on with Christ in productive ministry. Oh, how they must have thought of this talk, this lesson, sometime after, and recognized the value, the enduring guidance that was given. Now, we can read of the fruitful work of some of Jesus' disciples, but what about us? Are we committed to Christ for this very purpose? Who is checking on our fruit? The Father is. When I got to serve as interim pastor, I taught through this, and then I saw an opportunity to bring it back. And through a discussion with the church in prayer meeting, I was able to see a little momentum develop about being intentionally fruitful in our service and our ministry, looking for opportunities, praying for opportunities, sharing them, seeing the things that we do, hosting a meal, ministering, sharing the gospel with a friend. We began to see those as fruitful. And fellowship in that together was sweet. We can evaluate our abiding. We could give a letter grade to it. We could ask these questions. Shouldn't we be aware of fruit in our lives? Shouldn't we be intentional about fruit? Bearing fruit? Shouldn't we be prayerful about fruit? As we continue down through the passage, we'll see more of how that is absolutely yes to be the case. Several weeks ago, probably back in the fall, I was working with some. I work with, I don't know, some of you know Scott Van Dyne. So we were working on finishing up a house. We were working down in the crawl space trying to finish up the radiant heating, and there was a leak. There were other leaks. We already got those fixed. We fixed this one 3 times. And it leaked the 4th time. Pressure's on a little bit, trying to get things done. There's other things to work on. We'd like to not drive an hour and a half to work. It was in Wolfboro for me. That's an hour and a half. And here's what I heard. Take it apart. No cussing, no swearing, no throwing things. Just take it apart. He went and figured out how to solder it in a better way and learn from that and put it back together, and it didn't leak. How does that happen? Abiding in Christ. My mother and mother-in-law and father-in-law were with us. We took them up the seacoast, and we were up in Ogunquit on the Marginal Way. We had already taken a number of pictures, and ladies tend to like pictures. By the way, Lynn would be here. She could be, but she got a bug worse than I did. She really wanted to come. And my mother-in-law said, "You're so patient." And I said, "Thank you, Lord. That's fruit. It's Him working in me." Your ministry, as we think about, according to John 15, your ministry, teaching Sunday school, parenting, any number of things that we do, serving a meal, organizing a meal, sending out a survey, on and on and on. Your ministry is not getting things done for God. Rather, your ministry is God getting things done through you. And that's what that abide is. Jesus' character gets developed in us and gets shared with others. Most of what we do can be fruit-bearing. Encouraging a person to trust Christ with forgiveness, hosting a meal, singing and giving in worship, ushering, mopping a floor, and on and on and on. May we commit to Christ for the purpose of fruit-bearing. Jesus said, "Abide in me." Number two, cooperate with Christ lovingly. Verse 7, notice the occurrences, the number of occurrences of the word love here. "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." What is this verse offering? Full and promised support in His work. Lord, I'm preparing a message. Please help. Lord, I need to preach with a bug. Please help. And on it goes. And the opportunities to serve, there's full and promised support in His work. Verse 8. Don't miss this one. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." God is glorified, God is seen, He is recognized, and He is credited. This verse should elevate in our thinking that abiding in Christ to bear fruit is a very important priority. We should think more often, more days of the week, more hours of the day, more about being fruitful, because it brings glory to God. And we have to make choices over the temporal, and we have to set aside the temporal sometimes to be involved in the eternal and continue to grow in that whole area. God has made me more aware of this. Delighted the importance of fruit bearing to the glory of God. Verses 9 and 10, again, the word love appears. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." The strength of Jesus' love for you is described there. As the Father loved him. "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So there's obedience in abiding. Obedience and love in relation to abiding in Christ. Jesus is the perfect example of abiding. And then he says there's joy. This is so appealing. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." How's your joy? How's my joy? What level of joy do we have? And how we can grow in our closeness with Christ to be joyful, joyfully serving Him. Hardworking dads can take a lesson here as it relates to abiding in Christ, the trip home from work. How many of you practice this whole concept of casting all your care upon Him on the way home from work? Maybe women, too, in the workplace, right? I used to think, in fact, I used to say it years ago. Ladies, give your husband a little bit of time when he comes home because he's maybe had a bad day and he needs a break, just a few minutes. Then I learned how foolish that was. Because as husbands, we're to be like Christ. And Jesus, after a rugged, strenuous day, said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Mamas maybe had a bad day too, men. Mamas maybe had a bad day too. And we can be like Christ and experience His enablement and enjoy that. That's what it's about. The character of Christ developed in life, your situation, your circumstances. Pray and cooperate with Christ lovingly. Seniors sometimes don't feel they can serve the way they'd like to or the way they used to. And you've found ways to serve. I don't have to teach you this, but praying is a means of serving. Writing cards is a means of serving. Smiling and greeting others is a means of serving fruitfully. You know, it's important to be here and to welcome people with a sincere greeting. Maybe going to a basketball game or a music recital that can cheer a young person on in their activities. Our young people, we certainly enjoyed an elderly couple who were there for most of our kids' basketball games, soccer games, just because they loved and wanted to be there. Be fruitful in things you can do. Be fruitful. Now, as we strive to understand this passage, there's the commitment, there's the cooperation, and finally, there's the contribution. Contribute to Christ's work productively. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. What is the biggest word in that verse? Or maybe I should say, what is the word with the biggest meaning in that verse? How does that little word "as" fit with you? Huge. Love one another as Jesus. How did Jesus love us? He died on the cross for us. He took the wrath of God so that we could have the righteousness of Christ in Him. We're to love like that. And every level up to that degree. Closeness. Even as friends, that word "as," boy. Ladies, spend some time on this one. That you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I have commanded you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Jesus related to the disciples on a very personal level. And then he gives another big word. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. For many years I thought abide in Christ was for my benefit. How special it is to be commanded by the Savior to have a closer relationship with Him. And then he says here, that's so you can go and bring forth fruit in other people's lives. How special, how meaningful. So this command to abide is to serve and bear out the character of Christ to the lives of others. And I challenge us from this passage this morning to be mindful of fruit bearing. To be aware of opportunities to pray and serve to bear fruit, to be intentional, to be prayerful. Dear friends, life is meant to be about Christ and His character developed in you.